手就是把脚跟。
Deep dive.
Thank you.
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive. So our fourth set of two there, The Ravenettes, Venus and Furs, from an album that came out this year by them called The Ravenettes Sing. It was a cover album, all cover songs, and that was no different from the Velvet Underground track, Venus and Furs. Before that was The Cure doing A Fragile Thing from their Songs of a Lost World album. That was Willis's pick. I thank you for picking that because I didn't choose The Cure. Felt like it was kind of too obvious for me, but both those albums for me are heavy rotation this year. Both two of my favorites. What did you think of the Ravenettes?
Love that lazy trip hop beat and this the cavernous sustain and echo that's very shoegazy sounding. Gives this feeling of being in like this smoky basement, like at the show. It felt like I was there. Probably would be louder, right? But I felt like I was comfortably there listening at home. And I really like how they turn that effect on and off. Like it kind of comes in and out and it's more straight. And then it goes back to that cavernous echo throughout the song. And I think it's just as good, if not better, than the original song. I'm not a diehard Velvet Underground fan, but this song, I like it. I liked it a lot. It would make me like this song more.
I've always liked Venus and Furs. I'm a Velvet Underground fan, very inspired by them, and that's one of my favorite songs by them. So it's just cool that the Ravenettes chose that of all their songs, because I feel like it, even back when that came out, which I'm not sure the year, maybe 68, the original one, it sounded way ahead of its time, almost like it was the beginning of a glam fuzz genre of the 90s, and it came out many years before that. But the whole album is filled with covers, and their whole sound of the Ravenettes has always been sort of revivalist of that 50s and 60s kind of rockabilly, dream pop, girl group sound. And they add their fuzz and their surf energy to it at times, but very, very, very meaningful group for me, the Ravenettes. Every album they've put out along the years has meant something to me. So getting the Cure and getting the Ravenettes in the same year. Underworld had an album came out this year. Just really, what was the other group I was saying was my album of the year?
Dive. Yeah.
Some really this year musically had some great albums. I thought it was a better year than last year by far. Yeah. Last year I was disappointed in the amount of quality records, but this year was a home run as far as I'm concerned. And a lot of the groups you picked, like the next artist you picked, Rufus Du Sol's album, much better than I expected. There was so much music this year. Not so much songs. I don't feel like it was the best year for singles, but it was definitely a great year for full albums, which is a rarity.
That's even better, right?
Like, yeah, I think so.
Bunch of good music all at once.
Yeah, and like this, the lost art of making a full album. It doesn't seem like it matters as much as it used to. It's a singles world these days. Bands put out five singles before they put out the album. So everybody's familiar with most of the songs before the album even comes out. Right. It's a singles-driven market. And when you get full albums, it just takes us back and reminds us that it's still possible. And this year was like that.
Well, I think it makes sense because they don't make any money off a single, right? There's no way to sell a single.
Not anymore, yeah.
Right, but people are buying vinyl records and albums in vinyl format to collect, and that makes sense. Like, they would put their energy into something that actually makes money, which is great.
Let me ask you a question. I had this conversation with my friend the other night, sort of not to go off topic, it's on topic, but with music now and what music has become, do you find that the idea, when we grew up, we listened to records. We knew what was on an album. Like, you could say to me, I could say Depeche Mode, Black Celebration, and I could tell you, or Violator, I could tell you the song order. I know where every song is and where it fits on the album and all of that.
Okay.
I would say up until the early 2000s, maybe mid-2000s, like 2010, I would remember every song on an album, where it was. I can tell you the order. Now, I don't even remember song names anymore. Because it's not like when I'm listening to I have the Cure record here, I'll sit and I'll look at the order. So I'm kind of committing it to memory and seeing it over and over again and reading the lyrics or whatever.
Right.
But that's to me feels like it's a lost thing. Like naming songs off an album. There's albums I love this year that I can't even tell you the names of all the songs.
Right.
Do you find that same thing?
Yes, and I think it's because, I mean, it's definitely because of the format difference and the way music is so readily available. You can just pick it, right? You don't, if you just want to hear one song, you can just go pick it. Versus back in the day, you had to go and find it on the album.
Yeah.
Move your hand to the spot on the record to listen to it, and you might get the wrong one by mistake. And so typically what you would do is listen to it end to end, right? Well, whole side. And so your brain has all that space to absorb the order because it's only five songs at the most, or you know, six songs. So you can remember all that. But if you try to listen to an album today, even on Spotify, you're going to get all 10 or 12 songs, and there's no grouping, so it's all just blah, you know? So I think there's the physical difference makes it, has made a difference in the way we remember stuff. But I guess it frees up the young person's mind to do other things, right? So that nowadays people under the age of 20 can do literally three things at once, like watching a TV show while chatting with their friends and also their homework. Like, this is a thing.
And, yeah, or listening to music.
To music, right. And so I think that frees up your brain, but then you're not committing those important things like the album, the order of songs on an album, to your memory. And so they get lost.
Well, the other thing too is when you listen to music, back in the day, there was a connection in a different way, I feel. But with younger people, I feel like the art is lost in that we connect to an album as an album. Like, you bought it on cassette. You didn't really have the choice. You were listening to the songs in the order they were presented. If you wanted to skip a song, you had to fast forward through that song and find the start of the next song. So I don't think that interaction is the same, obviously. Yep. But also, as a listener, as people who love music, the relationship with music, I feel like for younger generations, is different. They like artists. They like songs. I don't feel like they listen to albums and fall in love with an album the way we did back in the day. And there's also the other end of it too, where it's like, you go on Spotify and you listen to 5 seconds, 10 seconds of a song, and then you go to the next song and you find the ones that appeal to you, and you might never go back to those other songs.
Right.
Because back when we listened to music, and I know I brought this up on a prior show way back, we bought an album, you know, we had an extra $5, $10 from our allowance or something. We bought an album, and if we didn't like it, you kind of learned to like it, because it's like, I can't go buy 100 others. This is I chose the Raveonettes, and this is my album, and I don't have more money to go buy. So for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I'm going to listen to it a lot and probably learn to love it, because I don't have a million other choices on Spotify. If you don't like it, why would you go back to it? There's thousands of other ones that are waiting to be heard.
Right.
That is an element that's missing for your kids and most younger kids now, because they don't have to work hard to get that. We had to work for it. We spent our hard-earned allowance, or if we had a part-time job when I was in my teens.
Right.
I didn't have extra money to go buy 1,000 things. I had to buy one, maybe two, or maybe even just a single. I do think that changes. You're not forced to spend time with it.
I stayed away from streaming for a long time because of this fact, is I knew that I wouldn't appreciate music as much if I knew I had like this buffet. Like, I could just at any moment just change songs.
And
that really discouraged me from even signing up for Spotify. And I tried it, and I was like, oh no, I need to stay away from this because I won't really appreciate music as much. Now, having said, going back to streaming again, I think it's helped me to expand what I can listen to.
True.
But it gives me more breadth, but less depth, right? A lot of times people talk about the difference between knowing a lot of things, a little bit about many things, or knowing just a few things, but knowing everything about that thing. And it's very hard to do both, right? You kind of have to pick one or the other.
Yes.
So
you're right. I think I've definitely have my issues. I don't use Spotify anymore because of how they do business, but it changed the whole world. And it changed the whole world of music so much. Like, I never dreamed in my life that I'd have access to every single song pretty much ever made for $10 a month or whatever it is, $15 a month. It's just mm-hmm. a wild concept. If you told me in 1985, don't worry, you don't have to buy all these records because right. in 2015, every one of them are going to be available for you for one like $10 bill a month or something.
Right.
So anyway, it's a different time. But yeah. anyway, it allows us to find a lot of music at the same time. It's not all bad. So we have one more set. The best of 2024 is what you've been listening to on the deep dive so far. And Willis has one more pick, and I follow it up with my last pick. And then next week, since this is our last break of the show, next week for New Year's show, first of all, Merry Christmas to everyone. This will run us right into Christmas.
Or Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. I say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, or Happy Kwanzaa, Joyous Kwanzaa. But happy holidays to you and your family. And then next week we're doing a special New Year's Eve edition, which is going to play a few times. Do you want to explain what we're doing on the show? And then I'll explain where it's going to play.
Yeah. So we each came up with a list of songs, dance music, and we want to mix it all together. So it's like a party, like you would listen to at a party
like you're hanging out. Yeah, DJ, right?
Yeah, like we're DJing. And they are a mix of songs probably from older eras that I think resonate with us from when we used to listen to dance music and dance and actually dance. And I still dance, I mean, you know, but the choices for the show, I think, are a lot more retro or reflective of older eras, past eras, which I think is a fun exercise for me anyways, to try to mix them together and do the beat matching. And it's going to be fun. And you won't hear any of us talking except for maybe a break. But it's definitely all music, right?
Yeah, it's going to be like each of us have an hour to mix. We're DJing each of us an hour each. So I don't know. I said each too many times, but we'll talk a little bit at the front end of each of our sets. But imagine you're going to a party, but it's retro. And I have to say, Willis, I don't believe there's going to be a whole lot of 21-year-olds that are like clamoring to be listening to our show on New Year's Eve at midnight. No. So because of that, I do feel like it's people like us that would listen, that might throw it on in the background of their very small party amongst some close friends, having some drinks and enjoying the end of the year together. That's sort of what this is. But if you want to dance, you're going to have a chance because it's house music. It's electronic music. It's freestyle. My list is half house, half freestyle. I've had a renaissance with freestyle this year. So I did 5 freestyle songs, 7 house songs, or 6 house songs, I'm sorry. But yeah. All the different styles within those two things that I like and that kind of raised me as a DJ. So I'm playing some of my favorite records from the crates back in the day. Not the most popular songs. I'm telling you right now, you might know a bunch of them, but they're not. I'm not picking obvious like CC Peniston Finally or right. CNC Music Factory. It's going to be a little deeper than that, but I think you'll enjoy. And so we're going to run the show on the regular day, Sunday morning. I think that's the 29th, right? 29th at 10 a.m. And then it will play again on our typical repeat Monday night on the 30th at 10 p.m. Then it's going to play on New Year's Eve at 10 p.m. again, which will take, I'm sorry, at 11 p.m. That's going to take us right into midnight. And then on New Year's Day, same thing. I'm going to flip-flop it back to the early part of the day, probably about 10 a.m. So we can keep it kind of consistent with where it airs during the day on its regular airings, but you're going to hear it plenty on the radio. That's the point. It's a fun 2 hours of music you'll probably never hear again after these few days. And I can't wait to hear your mix, dude. I did mine yesterday, so mine's already done.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to get the cobwebs out, knock the cobwebs off.
I'm super excited to hear how yours turns out. You went poppy with some of your choices.
I do. I think anybody listening knows, I lean more towards pop and the crossover type of electronic dance hits from the 90s, some 80s. Like I picked a new wave song.
Would you mind if I gave away one of your songs?
Sure.
Because there was one track on here that I was super happy because I tired of it back in the day. Really, I mean, truly tired of it. Like, didn't ever want to hear it again. But that, I would say in the last 2 years, maybe, I've kind of had a new romance budding with Technotronic, Pump Up the Jam.
Is that right?
I mean, I think it might have been the first crossover techno song. I mean, that was a massive seismic hit. And it was really before techno, as we came to know it, which was deep and not radio friendly. This was sort of the radio friendly way it was introduced to people, that if you wanted to go deeper, it was going to be harder, it was going to be faster, it was going to be louder. But this was the beginning of it, in my opinion. So I've got this new fascination with the song after many years. Yeah,
that's good. I wanted to play that song on a deep dive show, but it didn't seem appropriate. So now's the time.
Very happy you chose it. So that's coming up next week. But again, have a wonderful happy holidays. Our last set of music is going to be one of your favorite artists of the year. I say that because it seems like you've chosen them a couple times. Rufus Du Sol set it up.
Yeah, so they're an electronic dance group, a trio from Australia. They won a Grammy in 2022. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either.
This album, though, Inhale, Exhale, I think it's quite dynamic. There's some dance tracks, but then there's some more introspective songs. I'd call them songs, not just dance numbers. So that's why I think this album is good.
I love that you're calling everything numbers this week. You sound like you're a man, like an 88-year-old man.
From the 60s, yeah.
Like an 88-year-old's like, they're going to hit you with another nice little number from Duke Ellington.
Well, I think, anyways, they won their Grammy for a song called Alive in 2022. And I think this whole album is better than any of that. And they happen to be coming, they're on tour. They're coming to Shoreline in Mountain View in August of next year. So if anyone's interested in going, you can still buy your tickets. And this song is called Standing at the Gates, and I really like it.
Yeah, it's a good album. And I have to say, as much as I knew this group musically, I wasn't aware that they were actually a band. Thought it was one dude.
Right.
Nor did I really investigate too deeply until you brought it up that they were a band. And I was like, oh, all right. Never knew that. But I like them. I do like them. And a lot of their songs, I mean, even a couple of years ago, I thought it was kind of veering towards EDM. And I was like, maybe it's going to go somewhere I don't want it to go. But this album didn't do that. I think they kind of solidified their sound even. This is good, though. This is one I didn't play on the station. So this is it worthy of it? Was it a single, Willis? Do you know?
That's a good question.
Because maybe I should put it in as a, you know, kind of just like put it in one of the new categories, deep categories. I guess you're checking the spins on this. While you're doing that, I'll set up my choice. The last song on my 2024 best of song list is Moon Blue. That's the name of the group. Song came out in August called Daydream, and it's one person. It's funny because I don't think it did well. I don't think it's a song that took off, so it's kind of going away now. Did you find out?
It looks like it was not a single. It was just an album.
Okay. But yeah, I like this song. I like this Moon Blue track. I found out that he is he's an independent guy from the UK, but he's based in Rome. It's different. He calls himself lo-fi, psychedelic pop, lo-fi, indie, dream pop, chill indie, I guess, too.
Okay.
It's nice. I like it. I don't know much about Moon Blue, nor have I really gone deep, but the song itself left its mark on me, and I've kept it in rotation longer than I probably should have because it's minimal listens. But sometimes these songs just get lost in all the indie music out there.
Yeah.
And I almost wish that it would just catch on. Maybe I can help it, but it seems like it's a lost cause. What'd you think of the Moon Blue song?
I really like it's got this funky electric bass hook. That's got a good bass hook. It's very dancey. But then the song gets introspective, kind of in the middle. I think the beat goes away, but then it comes back and it ends strong. So I like that it's the song has a little bit of a story to it, and the bass actually inspires me, and a lot of the music that I've heard lately makes me want to learn to play bass.
Wow!
So I asked for a cheap electric bass, you know, for Christmas, and Turns out you can get, I think, on Amazon for $100 for a bass, which sounds like, you know, robbery, but that would be fun to play around with because not many people play bass, right?
I would gladly lend you and let you use my bass. I haven't been using it a lot at all, but if you ever need it, if you wanted to borrow it and play around, you're more than welcome. We could talk about that separately. Yeah. But that's awesome. Yeah. And I obviously have a very great appreciation for bass and especially amazing bass players. I just feel like I'm never going to be as good as my musical partner, Derek, as a bassist. So therefore, I feel like everything I do on bass is just a means to an end. I just need to put something in, hold place.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to top what he can do. And I don't even want to try because I'm never going to be able to practice and work as hard to get as good as he is.
Right.
So it's almost like a dead end for me, but it's such a, when you master it and when you do it right, it's probably the most important and unsung instrument in music.
Exactly. And if you're probably trying to create a song, you need that bass to kind of fill it out.
Otherwise, there's no bottom.
Right, exactly.
It's and these two songs both have big bass influence, so.
Yeah.
It's the last two songs on the show. So it's Rufus Du Sol, Standing at the Gates, followed by Moon Blue, the song Daydream. Our best of 24 concludes with these two songs. Brother, thank you. This has been an amazing year. We'll talk about it more in our New Year's show. We'll kind of, you know, get nostalgic a little bit. But thank you for doing this with me because it's been a joy every day.
It's been a good year, Greg.
Yeah, same here, man. Love to do this. So let's do our last two songs. Thanks to everybody for listening. Enjoy the rest of the deep dive. And as far as normal shows goes, we'll see you back on the other side of 2025 on Hi-Fi Dream.
There's a picture on my wall that could bring me to my knees. Feel so small as it takes me. There's a rabbit on the run and she haunts me in my dreams, but I don't know where she's gone. She escaped me. She's standing.
You.